Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. In the news, a failed Soviet Union Venus lander. Long space odyssey comes to an end. Cosmos 482 crashed to Earth May 10th after circling the Earth more than 5 decades. And we get in our time machine, David Livingston, my colleague and co-host here on Hotel Mars, and travel back to the launch of a Venus probe, Venera 72A and Venera 72B. Venera means Venus in Russian. And we welcome the man who keeps the Russian space web with an enormous amount of rich material about these probes once upon a time, Anatoly Zak. It's RussianSpaceWeb.com, a subscription site, most worthwhile, especially if your childhood and young manhood was spent in the Cold War, because it helps us interpret what was going on then and what it means now for our space probes. Roscosmos was number one in the world in 1972. Anatoly, welcome. These were Venus probes, and the one has landed. What was the mission? What did they hope to achieve? What did they achieve with these two launches? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. So Venera 72 project, as they called it inside the industry, but we know it, and mostly to the public, it was known as Venera 7 and Venera 8, which were launched in 1772. There were only two probes in a long series of spacecraft, which Soviet Union launched toward Venus starting in early 60s. And this program continued well into 70s and 80s. During basically until the end of the Soviet Union, this program continued. And Venera 72 project was especially important. It was kind of milestone within this long series of probes, because that was the period when the Soviet Union essentially mastered landing on Venus, which had extremely, as they found out actually hard way, actually using that spacecraft, had extremely difficult conditions on the surface. First of all, temperature, extremely high, hundreds of degrees Celsius, and very high pressure as well, which would normally no spacecraft designed traditionally to launch in Earth's orbit would survive that. But by trial and error, they essentially were able to build the landers, which allowed them to land on the surface and actually send useful data from the surface. So V-72 or Venera 72 series of probes, there were two of them, they were designed to essentially prepare taking photographs from the surface of Venus and also taking samples of the soil on the surface of Venus and analyzing to do chemical analysis. And to prepare that, they needed basic requirements. They needed to know under what conditions this future photo cameras and soil sniffing equipment will work. So so the Venera 72 project exactly accomplished that, but only one of the spacecraft made it. They launched two, and that was their kind of their strategy. They were launching two in the hope that at least one of them will make it, and that's exactly what happened in 1972.
David, you have a question.
Were these strictly scientific missions, or did they have a secret military intention with them also?
Yes. So there were no really, it was, we can call it purely scientific mission. There were no really military applications there, and the military was not exactly interested in going to Venus. There was some interest in the moon, but not Venus. However, there was, of course, always, it was, we shouldn't forget even for a second, it was the Cold War, it was a space race competition, so there was a huge political benefits which Soviet government saw in exploring Venus. And of course, it was kind of confluence of interest between science and politics. And as always, in very expensive historical projects, every time you need some kind of combination of factors. And here we have science and politics combined, and that's exactly what was the driving force behind all these missions.
Anatoly, the launching of two vehicles at once, that goes back to, I believe, Captain Cook's second mission. He took a second ship with him, and after that, the exploration of the Pacific for the Royal Navy always had two ships. So it's smart. One fails, one doesn't. What was the nature of the failure? Why did they have anxiety about these launches?
Yes, and in some sense, it was kind of a typical failure, because the 2 years early, in 1970, there were two probes launched, and one of them failed. And the key reason for that failure was the failure to launch from the Parkin orbit. So because you're going to Venus not directly, in order to save mass, you first launch your payload into the orbit around the Earth. And then when it's in the right position, you restart the engine of the upper stage. You have the upper stage attached to the probe. And that upper stage needs to restart, basically, or start its engine for the first time in orbit. And to do this, you need much higher level of sophistication than when you launch the rocket from the ground, when you have all your equipment essentially helping the rocket to take off, because you have all the ignition systems, you can control actually have cables connected to the rocket, not for the Parkin orbit launch. And that is much more difficult. You need to pre-program everything, and you need to send the commands to the vehicle, and the vehicle needs to perform in weightlessness, which is much more difficult. So they had an issue with the engine, which it started working. It's actually ignited. It started, but then it stopped earlier than necessary. And as a result, it didn't develop, the rocket didn't develop necessary velocity to kind of break the chains of Earth's gravity. So instead of going from Parkin orbit into the Venus trajectory toward Venus, it's kind of stretched the orbit from the circular into big egg shape, as they call it, elliptical orbit. And it was kind of high enough to actually survive for many years. And that's why we have that situation where the probe was circling the Earth for decades, and actually for more than half a century.
Was this a Soyuz or a proton booster?
It was R7-based rocket. Now it's called Molniya, and that was because it was also used to launch first Soviet communication satellites called Molniya, and that's where it got its kind of public name from. So that rocket was based on a first Soviet intercontinental ballistic missile, R7, and it was very similar to Soyuz, and it's very similar to Vostok. So all the piloted launches, the crew launches, which Soviet Union did, and Russia actually continues doing that as well. So it's the same family of rockets. But the upper stage was a little bit different.
David, you have a question.
Anatoly, when they made it with a lander to the surface, what was the life expectancy of one of their landers on the surface of Venus?
So for at the time when they launched V-72, they were kind of tens of minutes. They existed at that time for between half an hour and an hour, the different ones. And they were making progress there. They were making those missions more survivable. So at the time of Venera 8, they already reached around half an hour on the surface, and between 20 minutes and half an hour. And they were striving kind of to work there for 1 hour. And that later they, in fact, achieved that kind of milestone, because that's what they needed to do soil analysis experiments and to do photography on the surface. But that was later in 1975. So, but this one also survived on the surface for tens of minutes. And that was enough to essentially transmit very reliable data during the entire descent. So they saw how the temperature rising in the atmosphere, how the pressure rising. And when it landed on the surface, it continued sending the data. And they saw very good information about, they did some chemical analysis of the atmosphere as well. For example, they measured the amount of ammonia, which was in the atmosphere, which was important as well. And they also did some, they bound some radio waves off the surface, and they got some preliminary data about the kind of nature of the surface, which was at least at that particular landed site.
You have very helpful illustrations for both Venera A and Venera B. I'm especially keen on the parachute deployment and how it worked, because they're going through an atmosphere that at this point, I have to believe, they didn't know what was there. Since then, we've had lots of data that's come in from probes, and we have, David, you tell me there are up to three probes, if NASA can afford them, heading out. But we need much more information about the clouds of Venus. They were penetrating something we can't see through. And this parachute mechanism they used, had they used it elsewhere? Was this a unique design for the Venera craft?
It was, in fact, very unique design, because there are no other parachutes had to work in this very hostile, almost impossible environment because of the high temperature. Imagine if you have between 300 and 500 degrees temperature, what kind of parachute, where are you going to land using a parachute like that? So anything, but they tried so many materials. The development of this parachute was the major technological challenge, because it needs to be soft, right? The parachute needs to deploy. It needs to go into the. You need all these parachute lines, which would have to be folded. So the soft material, which had to survive 300 degrees, they in fact tested it up to 500 degrees in special furnaces, and that was very difficult to develop the parachute like this. And it needed to be flexible. It needed to essentially to provide a soft landing. So it was very, very difficult. And they finally found that those materials which they needed for this particular landing. So this parachute was absolutely unique. It would never been used anywhere else. And it was modified with each mission to Venus. They were trying to improve it, as well as they were improving all the instruments, and they were improving the capsule itself, the lander, which was delivering all this equipment and protecting it on the surface.
This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, my colleague and co-host. And we're in a time machine to 1972 with Anatoly Zak, who keeps a Russian space web. Two probes launched. One stays in Earth orbit until it just came to Earth in the Indian Ocean within days ago. The other landed on the surface of Venus. And when we come back, more about how the Soviet Union did that, a scientific mission in 1972 at the height of the Cold War, Vietnam, civil rights, chaos, Nixon, Watergate, all of that, and the Soviets landed on Venus.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.